Introduction. Once upon a time, before I went to college, my mother worried. I didn't know how to prepare what she called any decent meals. So she bought me a copy of The Joy of Cooking and sat me down to watch and learn. She opened the cookbook to a favorite recipe and began to show me how to make it. Here it says use vegetable oil, but I always use olive oil. And then here it says use chili peppers, but I always leave those out because the dish gets too spicy. And on it went, just like that. It says here to add salt, but never do that. Salt is bad for your heart. After some time, I interrupted the process. What is the point of the recipe if you do whatever you want anyway? I asked. And then, as sometimes happened in my mother's bright red kitchen, a pearl of wisdom was passed down to me in the uniquely memorable Louise Fox way. Listen to your mother. A meal becomes good by starting with quality instructions. It becomes great when you add a quality chef. Since that day, more than 20 years ago, I've come to understand my mother's teaching as a proverb that applies far beyond cooking. Actually, it applies to every important activity in our lives. In negotiating the highways and byways of life, recipes can take us only so far. Beyond getting the right ingredients or dutifully following instructions, to become a quality chef, in cooking and in life, we need to reach beyond the fundamentals and learn to adapt, improvise, and innovate as life demands. We need to use not only our utensils, our best practices and techniques, but also our inner strengths and deeper wisdom. The key to mastery, to achieving greatness, in the kitchen or in the boardroom is not your toolbox, it's you. Getting out of our own way. Life is a series of attempts to get things right. You work to achieve your goals, you hope to fulfill your potential, and you want to be a good person. You aim to live well, love and be loved, and if all goes well, make a contribution. Some of these come easily, others don't. You do the best you can. Still, despite your best efforts, things don't always go according to plan. Who hasn't said or done the wrong thing, making a bad situation worse? Or said nothing, when we might have made a difference if we had? Who hasn't lain in bed at night thinking, I can't believe I said that? Or why didn't I speak up when I had the chance? We may especially beat ourselves up when we fall into the same old traps. I did it again, even though I knew better. Everyone has some version of this experience. You prepare for an important meeting or a weighty conversation, you think in advance about what you want to say, and then, in the moment of truth, it doesn't go the way you pictured it the night before. The interesting thing is how often the difference doesn't come from what other people said or did. We like to point fingers, yes, but in truth, the reversal of fortune from the night before quite often comes from us. We go in with one plan, yet we end up doing something else entirely. Why? Consider the following true life scenarios. In a conversation for a promising contract, Tanya, who owns her own business, is surprised when a potential client pushes back on her fees. She'd gone into the meeting intending to be flexible. New opportunities had all but disappeared since the economy tanked. But in the moment, Tanya feels insulted and undervalued. She walks away from the engagement, despite needing the work and having a decent offer on the table. While meeting with a valued client of his firm, Pierre learns that the client rejected his recommendations for upgrading their IT system. The client tells Pierre why he doesn't think the strategy will work for them. Pierre knows he should use the active listening he learned in a seminar, but he's proud of the strategy and believes it's right for the client. Pierre explains why the reservations are unfounded, laying out again the merits of the proposal. The client doesn't want to argue. Instead, he asks Pierre's boss for a different consultant. Susan comes home from a long day at work and wants to connect with her family. At the dinner table, she describes her taxing day at the office. Her husband, Mike, complains that Susan isn't paying enough attention to their daughter, Jennifer, who's struggling at school. Susan bristles. "My job isn't the cause of Jenny's problems," she says. Mike disagrees. "You seem more concerned with your customers than with our daughter." Susan snaps back. "You have no idea what it's like to be a working mother." Jennifer shrinks into her chair as Susan and Mike finish dinner in a tense, uncomfortable silence. Despite our best intentions, we often miss opportunities and generate breakdowns. We walk away from good deals, harm relationships, and generally act against our own interests. Plenty of books tell us what to do about difficult people. The truth is, we need advice for succeeding when the difficult person is us.